Leviticus 20, let's begin in verse 22 tonight if we could. The Bible says, "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation." And by the way, I believe that's verse 23 is what he's referring to in verse 22. He says, "Ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation." If you, nation of Israel, if you begin to follow these other nations, then this land is going to spew you out just like it has done these other nations. He says, "Which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. Ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. A man also, or woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them." And tonight, I want to bring you a message entitled, "Consider." Consider. Tonight's message is a message of consideration. It is not a message of condemnation by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to bring us a message tonight entitled, "Consider Halloween." And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And I pray that we will look at what God's Word says and take it to heart and consider what His Word has to say. Let's pray and ask God to help tonight. Father, I pray that you'd use your Word to be a help to us tonight. Pray that you'd use your Word to be a consideration to us tonight. And Father, as we have spoken for the past two or three weeks, I pray that we would look into your Word, find out what you have said, and just continue to say that and believe it and follow it and submit to it. And so even in this matter tonight, Father, I pray that you would just help us to consider what your Word has to say. Pray that you'd teach us and help us in a special way tonight. Be with those that are away from us for whatever reason. We ask that you'd watch over them, care for them, bless them even at this very moment. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, before I begin tonight, let me encourage us. And I should have mentioned this earlier, but let me encourage you to be in prayer for Lanny and his family tomorrow. Tomorrow is the funeral for Miss Jerrica. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Memphis. And so if you think about them tomorrow, pray for Lanny and Addie and Avery and Kate and Jace, just lift them up in prayer if you would, okay? The popularity of Halloween is growing exponentially. Americans spend over $9 billion annually on Halloween. By the way, maybe we should have Halloween every day. That'd pay for some of all of these programs that they're wanting to pay for, wouldn't it? I'm just kidding. It would, but I don't want to have Halloween every day. Americans spend over $9 billion annually on Halloween, making it one of the country's top commercial holidays. What does the Bible have to say about Halloween? Well, let me say this first of all tonight. Halloween is mostly a Western custom, and it has no direct reference in the Bible. We know that. The Bible doesn't speak of Halloween. However, we know that there are many biblical principles that directly relate to the celebration of Halloween. So let me start here. What does Halloween mean? What does the word mean? The word Halloween literally means the evening before All Hallows Day or All Saints Day, which is celebrated on November the 1st. Halloween is also the shortened name of All Halloween. All Hallows Evening and All Saints Eve, which is celebrated on October 31st today. The origin and meaning of Halloween are derived from ancient Celtic harvest festivals, But more recently, we think of Halloween as a night filled with candy, trick-or-treating, pumpkins, ghosts, and death. The origin of Halloween as we know it began over 1900 years ago in England and Ireland and northern France. It was a Celtic celebration of the new year called Samhain, which occurred on November the 1st. The Celtic Druids revered it as the biggest holiday of the year and emphasized that day as the time when the souls of the dead supposedly could mingle with the living. Bonfires were a large aspect of this holiday as well. Samhain remained popular until St. Patrick and other Christian missionaries. By the way, let me say this. St. Patrick was not a Catholic. They stole him. Patrick was a Baptist. He was not a Catholic. Samhain remained popular until St. Patrick and other Christian missionaries arrived in the area. As the population began to convert to Christianity, the holiday began to lose its popularity. However, instead of eradicating pagan practices such as Halloween or Samhain, the church used these holidays with, and by the way, this they're using the word church very loosely here. The church used these holidays with a Christian twist to bring paganism and Christianity together, making it easier for local populations to convert to the state religion. Another tradition is the Druidic belief that during the night of November 1st, demons, witches, and evil spirits freely roam the earth with joy to greet the arrival of their season, the long nights and early dark of the winter months. The demons had their fun with poor mortals that night, frightening, harming, and even playing all kinds of mean tricks on them. The only way it seemed for scared humans to escape the persecution of the demons was to offer them things they liked, especially fancy foods and sweets. Or in order to escape the fury of these horrible creatures, a human could disguise himself as one of them and join in their roaming. In this way, they would recognize the human as a demon or witch, and the human would not be bothered that night. Today, costumes take the place of disguises, and candy has replaced fruits and other fancy foods as children go door-to-door trick-or-treating. Originally, trick-or-treating began as souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, when children would go door-to-door on Halloween with soul cakes, singing and saying prayers for the dead. Over the course of history, Halloween's visible practices have morphed and merged with the culture of the day, but the purpose of honoring the dead, veiled in fun and festivities, has remained the same. And tonight, I want to give us three thoughts tonight, three truths that just for consideration, I'm not here tonight to tell you that if you let your children dress up in certain outfits and go to families' homes and get candy, that that's necessarily wrong. But I do want you to consider what the Bible has to say. And I do want us to consider tonight if that is a healthy practice for our children to partake in. I'll be very transparent and start right from the get-go. This is an issue that my wife and I had to come to a consensus on when we were young in our married life. Even before we had kids, we talked about this issue. Are we going to celebrate Halloween? Is this something we're going to allow our children to do? And so I'll say right from the get-go that we don't celebrate Halloween. We don't trick-or-treat. We don't give out candy. We don't do any of that just simply because we don't want to associate with October the 31st with Halloween. And by the way, I'll say this, and again, this is just a message of consideration. You may come to a different opinion and determination in your family, but here's the truth. The Bible tells us in Romans 14 that every single one of us need to be completely sure of where we stand when it comes to any issue, and we ought to be able to have faith in that decision that we have made. We ought to be completely sure of the decision that we have made, or assured is the word used in Romans 14, of the decision that we have made. And so I want to give you three truths tonight that will hopefully be a help. Someone showed me a Facebook post. It was actually 2 or 3 weeks ago. And this Facebook post was an article from a former witch who came out of Wiccan, came out of that religion. And she made a comment in there that was very striking to me. And she said, if Christians understood how important October the 31st is to the Wiccan religion, they would stop celebrating it today. She said what December the 25th is to Christians, she says October the 31st is to the Wiccan religion. Now that's coming from the mouth of an individual who came out of it, who was converted out of it. She said what December the 25th is to Christian or Christianity, October the 31st is to witches and wizards, to the Wiccan religion. And so let me give you number one tonight as we consider Halloween tonight. Number one, I want us to consider, first of all, may we consider as we look here in Leviticus chapter number 20, we're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 18 in just a moment as well. May we consider, first of all, the corruption of the land. The corruption of the land. The Bible here in Leviticus chapter number 20, God uses the word abomination. He tells the nation of Israel in verse 22, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Why would it do that? Why would the land spew it out? Because that's what has already happened to the other nations that are there. That's the reason God is going to allow the nation of Israel to go in and to possess the land, because the Bible says in verse 23 that because of what they did, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, verse 24, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Number one, may we consider the corruption of the land. Two things here. By the way, real quickly, would you hold your place there, and let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Very similar passages. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, and we'll begin in verse number 9. May we consider the corruption of the land. Two things about that. First of all, the Israelites were not to associate with their abominations, and the Israelites were not to accept their abominations. They were not to associate with their abominations. They were not to accept their abominations. They were not to approve of their abominations. They were not to take part in their abominations. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, we'll begin in verse number 9. The Bible says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the what? The abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And we might say tonight, Pastor, I would never involve myself in any of that, and I don't believe anybody in here tonight would. But I wouldn't want to associate myself with a day that is associated with what we find here in this passage. Verse number 12, he said, for all that do these things, notice this, are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So number one tonight, may we consider the corruption of the land. The Israelites were not to associate with their abominations. The Israelites were not to accept their abominations. Let me give you number two. First of all, may we consider the corruption of the land. Number two, may we consider our consecration to the Lord. May we consider the corruption of the land. Secondly, may we consider our consecration to the Lord. Look back at Leviticus chapter number 20, if you would. We are to be distinct and different because we have been separated and severed. We are to be distinct and different because we have been separated and severed. May we consider our consecration to the Lord. Look again in Leviticus chapter number 20, verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes. Drop down, if you would, verse 24. The last part of the verse says, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And that's exactly what He's done with us as Christians. What does He tell us? He says, come out from among them and be ye, what? Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He has done the exact same thing for us. He has separated us. He has severed us from those abominations, from that wickedness. The Bible says in verse 26, and ye shall be holy unto me. May we consider the corruption of the land. The Israelites were not to associate with it. The Israelites were not to accept it. May we consider our consecration to the Lord. We are to be distinct and different because we have been separated and severed. He said, ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you. By the way, we know what the word severed means. What does the word severed mean? What does it mean? It means to cut. It means to detach. Think about Halloween. What's one of the big things about Halloween? It's a bunch of severed heads. Okay, God has severed us. He hasn't severed our heads. He severed us from this world. So number two, may we consider our consecration to the Lord. He said, ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. Now, this is true for any area of our lives, isn't it? Not just what we're speaking about tonight. This is true for every single day of our lives. This is true for every activity of our lives. He has separated us. He has severed us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we are to be distinct and we are to be different. By the way, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe it is, that we are to be peculiar, different. And to this world, many times we do look peculiar. We look different. But can I submit to us tonight? That's exactly how Jesus Christ looks to this world too. That's how Jesus Christ looked to this world when He was here upon this earth. He looked peculiar. He was different. He was distinct in what He thought, what He taught, how He acted. He was different and distinct. Number one, may we consider the corruption of the land. Number two, may we consider our consecration to the Lord. And again, I say it again, that's true for any area of our lives. We're to be distinct and different because we have been separated and we have been severed from this world and from its abominations. That's why we ought to be distinct and different in our activities. We ought to be distinct and different in our entertainment. We ought to be distinct and different in our language, how we talk and how we treat people. We're to be distinct and different. And we could go down the catalog, go down through the list, but we're to be distinct and different because we have been separated and severed. And that's what God is telling, and that's what Moses, from the mouth of God, is telling the nation of Israel in Leviticus chapter 20. Now, I know some people would come and say, well, Pastor, verse number 25, it talks about clean and unclean beast. We don't follow that today. We mentioned that last week. That's because in the New Testament, God did away with the dietary laws. But in the Old Testament, there were beasts that were clean. There were beasts that were unclean. There were things that they were supposed to eat. There were things that they were not supposed to eat. Because God said, I have separated you to me, I have severed you from this world. You're to be different than the nations that you're going to be in the midst of when you go in the land of Canaan, when you go into the promised land. But you're to be different. And you're to be distinct. And he says in verse 27, and we saw it in Deuteronomy chapter 18 as well, we have and we see God's mind upon familiar spirits, upon wizards, upon necromancers, upon diviners. God gives us His mind about what He thinks about those individuals and that teaching and that lifestyle. And so number one tonight, may we consider the corruption of the land. May we consider our consecration to the Lord. We're to be distinct and different because we have been separated and severed. Number three tonight, may we consider, and I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Number one, may we consider the corruption of the land. Number two, may we consider our consecration to the Lord. Number three tonight, may we consider that we are children of light. May we consider tonight that we are children of light. Let me ask you a question tonight. Physically speaking, humanly speaking, are children more afraid of the dark or are they more afraid of light? Okay, then spiritually speaking, why aren't we just as concerned about spiritual darkness? Kids are afraid of physical darkness. I mean, some of you adults are afraid of physical darkness too. Okay, but why is it we're not so concerned or as concerned about the spiritual darkness in this world? And we play it off many times as if, well, that preacher's just crazy and that preacher's crazy and he's looking for a demon around every corner and behind every tree. Now here's the thing, I'm not looking for a demon behind every tree and around every corner, but I do know what Ephesians chapter 6 says. And parents in here tonight, I know what Ephesians chapter 6 says, and I know that the devil would love your kids more than anything. Just like he would love my kids more than anything in this world. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, by the way, we're in Ephesians 5, just look probably a page over at Ephesians chapter number 6. In verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Why? Why do we need to be strong in the Lord? Why do we need the power of His might? Why does He tell us to put on the whole armor of God? So that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when our children are afraid of the dark, what do? We turn the light on for them. Or we put a nightlight up for them. Listen, our children, when it comes to spiritual darkness, need light. They need light. And by the way, moms and dads, if you know Christ, you're children of the light. And we ought to act like it. And we ought to walk like it. He says in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." And I'm going to make a statement right now that some of you may think is crazy, but I'm going to tell you what, a lot of the craziness that's going on in Washington, D.C. is because a lot of our leaders are led by principalities and powers of darkness. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it. I believe it's true because the Bible says it. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And you know what the devil wants? The devil wants us to accept a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And as we read earlier, instead of the Christians 1900 years ago getting rid or eradicating of this celebration called Samhain, they accepted it, and because of that, with the Christian practices and the pagan practices, it was easier for the Catholic Church to have a state religion because they brought everything together. By the way, that's what's going to happen here not too far in the future. When the Christians and the pagans come together, and we're going to have a one world religion with the Antichrist being at the head. Pastor, that'll never happen. It's happened before. It'll happen again. It's happening right now. We're steaming down that road right now to a one world religion, to a one world government. And he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I may be going way out on a limb right here. This may be crazy, and it may be. I don't know, because I don't know it to be true, because I've never been close to her, and I probably never will be close to her. But someone told me recently that they've heard, and it's not just one source, but a number of sources, that Mrs. Clinton smells like sulfur. And I believe it to be true. Is it true? I don't know. I've never been close to her. Probably never will be. But she's led by some kind of spirit. And I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5. Verse number 1, the Bible says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath... Man, we might want to clip that out of that little... Because if you say something against the Clintons, you die. Pastor Steve Fry pastors this church. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I've mentioned this before, but anybody know what that word circumspectly, what it means? And I think I've given this illustration before too. Circumspectly. Properly, uprightly. Well-rounded. She's been listening. Actually, maybe I got the illustration from her. It means carefully. And I've given the illustration before. If you see a cat on a roof or on a very skinny rail, and you see them walk, they're walking very circumspectly, very carefully, very cautiously. What does he tell us to do here? He tells us, first of all, to arise, to awake. And he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. Look at this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Number 3, may we consider that we are children of light. What do children of light do? Let me give you these real quickly, and we'll be done, and we'll go to the Lord's table here in just a moment. What do children of light do that we see here in this passage? First of all, children of light reject, reprove, and radiate. They reject, in verses 3 and 4, they reject filthy conduct and foolish conversation. They reject, they reprove, verses 11 through 13, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't think that's probably talking about Halloween. Okay, that's fine. But the Bible says that the children of light are supposed to reprove the works of darkness, whatever that may be. We're supposed to reprove it. We're not supposed to accept it. We saw this last Sunday night. We spoke about heresy. And the Bible says in Titus chapter number 1, Paul told Titus that he was to rebuke them sharply. Rebuke them sharply. The false teachers, he was to rebuke them sharply. The Bible tells us here, Paul telling the church at Ephesus, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I would be negligent to try to give a litany of works of darkness tonight because I'm going to miss somebody. But, you know, think about this. That's why Christians ought not watch sitcoms that glorify homosexuality. We ought to reprove that stuff. We ought not associate with it. We ought not accept it. We ought not watch things like that and laugh at it. That's why the child of God ought not laugh at someone who mocks at God and who uses God's name in vain or tells off-color jokes and uses innuendos and we laugh. No, the Bible says we're to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. And not only are we to reprove them, we're to have no fellowship with them. We're to reprove the unfruitful, no value, they're vain, the unfruitful works of darkness. He says, for it is a shame even to speak, verse 12, of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. By the way, most of these things that happen around this time of year or around this day, when do they happen? They happen at night. They happen in the darkness. They happen in the secret. Because they don't want others to see. They don't want others to see what they're doing. May we consider that we are children of light. What do children of light do? They reject, they reprove. Number three, we don't necessarily find it here. We find it in Matthew 5:16. Number three, they radiate. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They radiate. What do they radiate? They radiate the good work. They radiate good works. They radiate the glory of God. The Bible tells us, it's right here in our passage, verse 4. They radiate thanksgiving. He says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. What do children of light do? They reject. They reject verses 3 and 4. What goes? He says, let it not be, excuse me, let me find it exactly. Where is it at? Verse 3. He says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You need to reject what he's speaking of in verses 3 and 4. Children of light reject. Children of light reprove. Children of light radiate good works. They radiate God's glory. Honest question, does Halloween radiate God's glory? You might say to that, Pastor, I just think you're being picky. I'm not picking on anybody, I'm not. I'm not condemning anybody at all. If you allow your children to be a part of that, that's your decision. I'm asking us tonight to consider, is that healthy for our children? Is it glorifying to God? Does it radiate God's glory? Does it radiate good works? Why is that important? Because we're children of light. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light. Children of light reject, reprove, or radiate. What else do they do? Children of light do not partake. Children of light produce. And children of light prove. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Pastor, I don't see anywhere in there where it talks about Halloween or witches or wizards or anything like that. I get it. But he does mention the unfruitful works of darkness. He does mention in verse number 3, he gives a litany: fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Verse number 5, whoremongers, unclean person, covetous man, idolater. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I go back to Leviticus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 18. I know we live in a different time and we don't do this, but in Leviticus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 18, what did God say should happen to those people? They should be stoned. I am not telling anybody to go stone anybody tonight. That's what happened in the Old Testament. And if it was that serious to God in the Old Testament, God never changes because He cannot lie. Titus 1, verse number 2. And because He cannot lie, then that means I can keep saying what He has said in the past. And by the way, not only I can, but I should. They do not partake, the Bible says in verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And again, that goes for every area of our lives. We ought not be partakers with them. My son was in a store yesterday. He said there was a lady in the store, in the convenience store, and she was in there looking for beer. She wanted beer. She couldn't find it in the cooler. And he said this same lady who was in this convenience store looking for beer got out of a vehicle that had a license plate on the front, something to the effect, I may not be exactly right, but something to the effect, Jesus Christ is Lord. Those don't match. Those don't go together. Remember PBS? One of these things is not like the other. They don't match. Listen, if you say Jesus Christ is Lord, you don't need to be in the convenience store looking for beer. That goes for every area of our lives. We ought not partake. We ought to produce. Produce what? Verses 8 and 9. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What are we producing? The fruit of the Spirit, at least we ought to be. What do the children of light do? They reject, they reprove, they radiate. They don't partake, they produce. Thirdly, they prove. Verse number 10, what do they prove? What do they prove? What is acceptable unto the Lord. And all of that goes back to the first 9 verses. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Consider. Consider what? May we consider the corruption of the land. We're not to associate with it, and we're not to accept their abominations. Number 2, may we consider our consecration to the Lord. We are to be distinct and different because we have been separated and severed. Our celebrations ought to be different than the world's. Our get-togethers ought to be different than the world. By the way, I don't even like to use that. I shouldn't even use that word celebration. Anybody can have a party. You need to have a reason for a celebration. And dear friend, we have every reason for celebrations. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our get-togethers ought to be different than the world. The things we do, the things we eat, the things we partake of ought to be different. How we act, our conversations ought to be different. We are to be distinct and different because we have been separated and we have been severed. And listen, it is a lie from the pit of hell that I have to be like the world to win the world. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't you let the devil tell you that lie. Well, if you don't act like the world, you'll never win the world. Win them to what? A cheap imitation of what they already are? No. We're to be different. We're to be distinct. You see, the world cusses each other. We ought not do that. The world gossips about each other. We ought not do that. The world gets on social media and throws up everything that's going on in their life right now. God's children ought not do that. We ought to be different. And we ought to be distinct. Why? Because we have been separated and we have been severed. Excuse me, severed. Number three, may we consider that we are children of light. Children of light reject, they reprove, they radiate. Children of light do not partake, they produce and they prove. I pray tonight that we would consider, and by the way, not just Halloween, but any unfruitful work of darkness. Any unfruitful work of darkness, whatever that may be. I pray we would consider, and I pray that tonight that we would see what the Bible says and say, you know what, I am to be distinct, I am to be different, I have been separated, I have been severed. And you know what, and it may not even be anything about Halloween tonight, you would say, a specific area in my life, I'm not being distinct. I'm not being different. I'm separated. God has separated me from this world. He has severed me from this world. I need to show myself different. I don't need to be like the world on social media. People get on there and put Bible verses on social media and then two or three posts down, they're cursing. Those don't match. Those don't go together. You think the world's going to give the time of day to somebody who puts a Bible verse, but then two posts later they're cursing? Or they're reposting what somebody else posted that has cursing in it? Careful. We're to be distinct and different. And I think we need to be careful. I think we need to be careful of this holiday. We have a holiday. Now, by the way, let me say this. Halloween is not the devil's birthday. I had one of the kids Wednesday night. Halloween's the devil's birthday and Christmas is Jesus' birthday. No, it's not. No, it's not. But Halloween does exalt the things of the devil. It just does. Now we can argue, well, I'm not a part of that. It's just candy, it's just fun. Okay, but Halloween exalts the things of the devil. It exalts the things of death. It exalts the things of gore. It exalts things that are demonic. Witchcraft, wizardry. It exalts all that. And personally, and again, you have to make this own decision for your family, but personally, I don't want to be a part of that. And personally, I don't want to associate or do anything that's going to exalt a day that exalts the things of the devil, that exalts the things of death. And I know I've heard the argument. I'm done because we need to go to the Lord's table. I've heard the argument. Well, Christianity exalts death, the death of Jesus Christ. Is he still dead? Let me ask you that. Did somebody kill him? He gave his life freely. There's a difference. A huge difference. Consider Halloween. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. And Father, I do pray that we would consider And Father, I pray that we would want to radiate your glory in everything that we do. I pray that we would have a desire to reprove and reject those things, that the unfruitful works of darkness. And Father, I pray that we would have a desire not to partake, but to produce and to prove those things that are acceptable to you. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray that we would. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. And Lord, I don't know if anyone even has an issue with this, but Father, if you've worked in their hearts, I pray that they would do business with you tonight. And I pray that if there may be something else in our hearts before we go to the Lord's table, something that may be a sin, a hidden sin, a covered sin that we've been neglecting, that we have been covering up maybe for weeks or months, Lord, I pray tonight, before we come to your table, I pray that we'll get those things right with you. And so please help us, Lord, in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.